Throughout this year, we've been talking about connecting to God and one another. And in this particular season, we've been talking about connecting our lives to God, our work, and our faith. And we've been talking about work in the very broadest sense of what we do with our daily lives. How does that work connect with our faith and with God's love? So today we talk about those who have passed on faith to us. And we're going to hear a couple of scriptures that are testaments to that. First, we're going to hear a psalm, Psalm 78. And as you hear this, I invite you to listen for what the psalm says about teaching future generations. And then in a few minutes, we're going to hear a familiar passage from Mark chapter 10. As you hear this familiar passage about Jesus and children, I want to ask you to think about, open your heart and your eyes, your mind, to hear this story in a new way. Think about how Jesus was calling the people then and us to pass on faith as part of our life's work. We begin with the psalm.
Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. Listen, my people, to my teaching. Tilt your ears toward the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a proverb. I will declare riddles from days long gone, ones that we've heard and learned about, ones that our ancestors told us. We won't hide them from their descendants. We'll tell the next generation all about the praise due the Lord and his strength, the wondrous works that God has done. He established a law for Jacob and set up instructions for Israel, ordering our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is so that the next generation and children not yet born will know these things, and so they can rise up and tell their children to put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Mark, and it's verses 13 through 16. The people were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke to them sternly. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
So sometimes this story is thought of lightly, like a sweet Jesus story. And isn't it nice that he held children? And of course, that's true. It is a sweet Jesus story, but it is so much more, so much deeper than that, because it's really about the work of passing on faith, and Jesus shows the way. So, you are invited into Jesus' arms. You are invited this day. What if you were one of the little children, all maybe even all grown up, there that day, and you were coming to Jesus, needing a word of blessing or a comforting touch? People were bringing you to Jesus. And people around spoke sternly and said, "No, not that one. Not that one, but Jesus," we are told, "was indignant and says, 'No, let them come to me. Do not stop them.'" for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he takes you and put his hands upon you and blesses you. Picture yourself being held by Jesus, one of the children that day and this day. Picture yourself being held by Jesus when you don't think much of yourself one day. And Jesus says, come up here near to me. Picture yourself when others want to keep you from Jesus. And he says, come near, come up here, come near to me. How about a time when you are lonely or sorrowing or afraid? And Jesus says, come right up here so that I can have you near me. He says even more than that. He says, never keep my children from me. Little ones especially, but don't keep any of my children from me. He says little ones especially to show that when we have the eagerness of children for him, the open hearts of children, the willingness to know him, we are very near to the kingdom of God. Think about where Jesus got his passion for his children, his history and his learning. Jesus grew up hearing the stories of his Jewish faith, grew up hearing the psalm that we read a few minutes ago. It was his mother's work to teach him as he grew, to pass faith onto him. And then it was his father's work to be sure that he was educated, so Jesus knew the stories of his Jewish, his Hebrew faith. They would have known this passage from Psalm 78 and be seeking to live it, teaching Jesus and his siblings. This is so the next generation and children not yet born will know these things, and so they can rise up and tell their children. Now, those children that were around Jesus then and now are not his biological children, are they? Those children Jesus held, they were all the children of the world. Probably mostly Jewish children. He wanted the children near him so he could love them and show that they were part of his kingdom. And the world around him pressed against this. The disciples wanted to keep his children from him, pressed against him passing on his love and his faith, as the world always does. It presses up against us, passing on the love of Jesus. But Jesus reminds us that learning how to love is our life's work. Learning how to love is our life's work. By holding his children and by teaching us, he reminds us that learning how to love is truly our life's work. We think it's other work, but the true work of our lives is learning how to love. Learning how to love God. Learning how to love others. Think about how hard it was for the disciples, and they had Jesus there to show them. But Jesus says it again. Many stories of Jesus' life and his work. What's the greatest commandment? He's asked. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Many times he says, now you come near to me. You come near to me so that I can heal you. And Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? A thief and a cheater, a deceiver. Jesus says to him, come down, Zacchaeus, so that I can come to your house today. Jesus shows us that learning how to love is our life's work. Today we remember those who helped us learn how to love. Take a minute right now to remember and give thanks to those who helped you learn how to love. Here's what they did for us. They held us like Jesus They passed on faith to us by their words and their actions, by their lives. Those who we call saints today received us back when we failed, giving us ever more chances. They strengthened us, and they set us free, like Jesus does. God knew that it would be hard for us to love a God that we couldn't see or hear or touch, so God sent us Jesus, human like us, yet deeply in God's image. And when Jesus left this earth, he left his Spirit, God's Spirit, in each of us, so that when we love each other, we love God. Jesus left his Spirit within us, so that when we love each other, we love God. How do we love like Jesus in a broken world? We remember that we are all created in God's image, imago Dei. As a matter of fact, we see God's imprint on all the created order. The Lord our God is one. All living things are part of that oneness. We are all connected like a body with many parts, all holy and sacred. Think about that. It's why today we pray for the persecuted church around the world. People who suffer because of their faith. We pray for them because we are connected to them through the body that is Christ Jesus. And you know, I think that loving others begins with learning to love ourselves. To let Jesus hold and teach us. Loving others begins with our capacity to love ourselves. Not in a selfish or an egotistical way, but with a sense of deep compassion for our own humanity, warts and all, failures and all. Loving others begins when we can learn to love ourselves. At this moment, are you willing to love and accept yourself no matter what? That's what God does. That's what Jesus does. I submit to you that we cannot be tender and loving, that when we cannot be tender and loving with ourselves, our hearts turn to stone. Our hearts turn to anger and even hatred toward ourselves and then to others. Our anger and hatred with others is a reflection of our lack of tender love, compassion and kindness that God showers upon us and longs for us to feel for ourselves. That's what Jesus longs to heal and gives us those saints that we honor today to help us. Those people who have held us like Jesus holds us, who have loved us no matter what, even with their own faults and failures, showed us kindness. Sometimes they've showed us kindness, but with a tough word. Sometimes we need to hear a tough word of love, don't we? And those who have loved us most can offer us a tough word of love sometimes. Through them, we learn this love of God and we grow in it, which is our life's work. And then we can love and not hate others. When we see our faults and we know that God loves us in spite of them, we can have a tender, compassionate heart toward others. Hatred has no space then, truly and literally. When our hearts are open to the tender love of God, then we have that toward others, and there is no space for hatred. Someone taught you Jesus' love. Someone did. A saint. Perhaps someone who's gone. Perhaps someone who's still on this earth. I think about the saints in my life. Those who loved me and held me when I didn't love myself. Sometimes they held me literally, and sometimes they held me in prayer. I learned about faith from them. They passed on Bible passages and stories and faith matters to wrestle with, and they let me ask my questions and deepen my faith. Some of these are people I'm biologically related to. My mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, to whom I was this dearest little thing and he couldn't help loving me. Even when I was naughty or demanding, he loved me. I learned about the stories and faith from them. Because of them, because of those who held me like Jesus and taught me how to love, I can do that for others. Love has a ripple effect, you see. You know this, don't you? That love has a ripple effect. And so does hate. Hate has a ripple effect too. We know that. And I wonder what Jesus is asking us to help have a ripple effect today. I am so grateful for the saints in my life, my mothers and fathers in the faith. Some are blood relatives and some are not. They made passing on faith their life's work. And now we get to do that. How are you making learning to love your life's work? How are you passing on faith and Jesus' love to others, to all God's children, regardless of their age or where they come from, or whether they're naughty some days? How are you making it your life's work to learn more about love and pass it on? Sometimes I'll say to myself and to you, what is the most loving thing to say or do in this situation? And when I'm able to do that, I'm not always able to do that, but when I'm able to ask that question with genuine thoughts and genuine love on my heart, what is the most loving thing to say or do in this situation? Then I realize I am making learning to love my life's work. It's not easy, because sometimes people need to be challenged or they don't seem lovable at that moment. Sometimes challenging people is the loving thing. Jesus did it all the time. So now you are invited to make learning to love your life's work. And in these moments, breathe the spirit of love into your heart space. Imagine your heart opening wider as you breathe in. Allow that love to enter every part of your body. You see, to love God is to love ourselves, creations of God. To love our neighbors is to love God. In this, we live into God's reign and we pass on faith. And this is our prayer. Fill us with your spirit of love, O God. We give you thanks this day for those who have gone before us and even are in our midst this day, helping us to love ourselves and love others. We call them saints. Fill us with your power and your presence, so that indeed we can pass on that love to a world longing for good news. Amen.